Imagine yourself going through some form of hypothermia because it is so cold and so wet and so rainy. You are absolutely freezing during your race, but you can't quit. You can't make yourself stop. You have to take one step after the other because you don't want to let down your friends and family. Everything that you've put them through, all the competition, all the time put into training, it's all going to pay off. But you have to get through this race. You have to get through the cold. You have to get through the cycling and the swimming and finally the running. You're so cold. You put on a beanie and continue to run. But not only that, you wrap yourself in space blankets over and over again, piling them on because it's freezing. And then you see the finish line. You know it's coming 200 meters away. You know your spouse is there. You know family and friends are waiting for you. All you have to do is finish the race. This is Drew, and you're listening to the Transformations Through Running podcast. Before we get into the show, just a quick word about TriMag. This is our liquid magnesium supplement. We designed this product ourselves at TrueForm. We decided to go with a liquid magnesium form because it's the most absorbable you can find on the market. We have three different forms of magnesium that we put together that we call our TriMag All-Stars. We also have potassium in here as well. This is a fantastic product to help with muscle recovery. It's going to help those aches and pains, and it's also going to help you sleep better, which will also help those sore muscles recover better for your next long run. More details are at trueformlife.com/TriMag Magnesium Product. All right, welcome to another edition of Transformations Through Running. We have Megan on here with us. So thank you so much for joining us today, Megan.
Oh, no worries. Glad to be here.
All right. So I'd like you to take a step back here and share with our audience a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and then we'll get into some questions.
All right, sounds good. I'm a college math professor, so I'm a bit of a math geek. I've been doing it for, I think this is my 20th year. Born and raised in Southern California. I live in Hermosa Beach. Originally I wanted to be a high school teacher, and I taught high school for 1 year and realized that I did not want to deal with people's parents or chaperone prom or do grad night at Disneyland at 4 a.m. in the morning. So I decided to teach college, and I've been doing it ever since. And I spent quite a few years, and we'll probably touch on it when we talk about running, but quite a few years in my car driving to 3 or 4 schools at a time until I finally got a tenured position at El Camino College, where I teach now in Torrance. So, yeah, so it's been a wild ride, but I finally got a nice set place to teach and, you know, educating those youth of America.
And how long have you been doing that for at El Camino?
Well, I've taught there part-time since, I want to say, 2002. So it was quite a while until they finally, I guess, liked me enough to take me on as tenure. But I've been tenured for 2 years and full-time for 6.
Okay. Awesome. So tell us about how you got into running. When was the first time that you decided that you were going to go out and start running? Did it begin with fun runs or 5Ks, or what did that look like?
I started when I was in probably 7th or 8th grade, and I ran track, and it was really the only thing I was decent at, and I knew, and I was pretty good, relatively speaking, for, you know, 11 years old or however heck old I was pretty good at the longer distances, and I really, really enjoyed it. But once I got into high school, the math geek and perfectionist and never wanting to miss school and didn't want to do practice and, you know, waste time that could be spent doing my homework, I completely got away from sports and anything active. And probably didn't do much of anything. I mean, in college, I played drums in a band, so that was about the most exercise I got, probably.
Do you still play the drums?
I can. I can play the drums, but
I think
I need to get myself an electronic kit. I don't think my neighbors would enjoy the full setup.
Right.
So I spent most of my time in my car, literally just eating like crud. I probably, I don't know, 30 pounds heavier plus, maybe even more than I weigh now. Just not active whatsoever. My sister at the time, that sounds bad. She's still my sister. But at the time, she was running an LA Kings 5K or getting ready to do it. And first of all, I'm a huge Sharks fan, so that annoyed me to no end that I had to run with a Kings logo on my t-shirt. So I said, yeah, I'll do that. And I mean, I trained, and I'm doing air quotes here. I mean, I trained like a crazy person just to do this 5K. I thought this was like the biggest thing in my life. And I mean, I worked my butt off, and I did it in 36 minutes. And I remember Googling when I got home, is 36 minutes a good time for a 5K? Because I was so proud of myself, and I was like, wait, no, 20 minutes is like really fast. Wow, I'm way off. And so it kind of got me hooked, and I'm always one for, like, all my friends say I'm like a dog that needs a job. And I need like something to always push me. So I just pushed myself, and decided I'm going to do a half marathon. So it was like 7 years ago in 2012, I did the Orange County half marathon. And again, I mean, I worked my tail off, and I only really used a treadmill. I never really ran outside. I had one in my garage, and just, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. And I vividly remember when I was about to split off to finish the half marathon, they had a sign that said, full marathon this direction, meaning, you know, do it again. And I remember thinking, I can't fathom right now doing this again. I mean, I couldn't walk for, I was in a two-story house at the time, and I couldn't get up the stairs for 3 days. Like I stayed downstairs. I lived downstairs because I couldn't move. And I did, I think it was 2 hours and 36 minutes or something. And I was like, awesome, I did it. I didn't die. And so then again, I was just hooked to, okay, now I want to hit the two-hour mark. Okay, well, now I want to hit the 150 mark. And I just got into it. And I started getting little injuries here or there. And I saw, you know, you go to all these races and you get back to your car and you've got 25 postcards stuck in your windshield wipers for different races and stuff. And one of them was a reverse try. I think it was Race on the Base. And it was super duper, like it started with a 5K run, then I think it was like a 10-mile bike, and literally I think 4 laps in a pool. And I didn't even own a swim cap or a bike, so I had to borrow all this stuff, and I did this reverse triathlon. And long story short, I was like, ah, this is a way that I can kind of prolong this athletic lifestyle without constantly running. So I got into the whole triathlon thing, and then I got into the Olympic distance triathlons, then the half Ironmans, and then, oh, I'll never do a full Ironman, never do a full Ironman. And then, of course, I got to a full Ironman, and it's just snowballed because I'm never happy with where I'm at. I always want to push myself to the next level. So when things start to get boring or whatever, what's the next big thing I can do? And it's just, I'm hooked. I'm hooked, line, and sinkered into all this stuff.
So
but it
when
started with
was there a turning point where you were like, oh my gosh, look at what's happening. I am going to be doing this for the rest of my life.
turning point probably when I hit submit or register or whatever the button was last, so a year plus ago, June, when I signed up for the first full Ironman. And I hit that, and my friend was taking video at the time, and I just watched that video, and I look terrified. And I remember thinking, this is going to change my life. This is no big little, this isn't, you know, a little 5K anymore. This is going to be my life. And I think that was the point at which I was like, this is no longer really a hobby. This is getting a little bit ridiculous, but I love it, even when it gets ridiculously hard. So
So how was it for you when you were not eating so well? You're basically living out of your car, going from job to job, and then you kind of transformed or transitioned into the super active lifestyle. How did you get from one to the next? It seemed like quite a big leap.
I think you just, if you're not active and you're not eating well and you're not overly healthy, I think it's like anything else that you don't realize that you're not really healthy and you don't really feel well until you are healthy and you do feel well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's very interesting. We talk about that often. Like we don't like our normal. We don't realize like some people that sleep 3 hours a night. They're like, oh, I don't need 7 hours of sleep, because that's your normal, right? But you've never experienced what a great night of sleep feels like when you sleep 7 or 8 and you wake up and you're alive and rejuvenated. So if you're just continually unhealthy, maybe we just don't have that feeling of being healthy.
That's exactly right. And then once you get that feeling, you don't want to go back to where you're like, God, I really felt like crap, you know? And it's definitely, you definitely don't realize it until you're not healthy anymore.
How do you fit in the time for all the training?
Luckily for me, I've now that I'm in one school as opposed to three schools with seven classes, I'm at one school with three classes, so I can pretty much set my own schedule. So I typically don't teach during the regular semesters. I only teach 4 days a week, and I typically don't have my classes start until at least 11, depending on the day, and then I'll teach until 4, 5, 6 o'clock, and that's still super short day compared to most. So I'm lucky. And there's occasional, conferences or meetings or whatever, but I'm super lucky. My schedule is very, very light. So I feel like I never have the right to complain about, oh, I've got to fit this in or that in. But even when things are busy, you can always find the time.
You just have to make the time, right?
You have to make the time. I mean, I know people that have, they work 9 to 5, they have families and they have kids. And they're getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they are no joke on their trainer at 3:45 in the morning. And you can make it happen. And I've heard people that complain, "Oh, I don't have time to do this, that, or the other thing." But they come home from work and they spend 3 hours binge watching Netflix.
Right.
Well, I mean, you could do that on a bike, or you could listen to a podcast on a run, So it can be done, even though I'm lucky enough to have more time than a normal 9 to 5er, it can be done. And it's a frustrating thing for me when people complain that they don't have the time, because you can find it at lunch, you can find it, you can find it if you want to. And the thing is, you have to want to.
Tell me about your training schedule. What does that look like throughout the week? Or give me a week example of a training schedule.
It depends what I'm training for. Right now, the next thing coming up is I'm running the New York Marathon in, what is that, a month? A month from now. So now it's mainly focused on the running with, well, obviously the running, that's kind of obvious, and biking, and a little bit less on the running. My coach, Jim Lubinsky, we found that when I did Chicago last year, the best thing that we did was taper off on the swimming, because swimming, I have to get up so super early and I don't get as much sleep. So we found that if I knocked out the swimming and just did running and then a lot of extra biking, because there's no, the joints aren't as pounded when you're on the bike. So I do more of that. So when I'm running, when I'm doing marathon training, it's probably running 4 days a week, different things, a lot of biking. But then Ironman training is a whole nother ball of wax. So it just depends what's coming up. Everything changes, but.
So you're running 4 days a week when you're working towards a marathon?
Yeah, I think this week I did. Well, this week's a little bit off because I ran the. There was the. I don't know if you heard about the Surf City Sundown.
I haven't heard of it, no.
Yeah, it's in Huntington Beach. They've done it for 65 years,
Oh my
and
gosh.
yeah, I didn't know that. I knew it'd been around for a while, but not that long. But they had always done it in the morning, and I'd done it a few times. It's a 10-mile race on PCH in Huntington Beach, and this year they decided to do it at night at sunset. So I did that, and it was, I can never just take any race as, oh, I'm just going to take it easy and enjoy it. The competitive part of me comes out. So I did the 10 miles in 1 hour and 10 minutes. Then I wondered why I couldn't walk the next day. And so that kind of, the running's been light up until yesterday. Yesterday I did some intervals and things like that. I'm running 3x2s tomorrow. I did some track last week. I have a long ride on Saturday and a long, like, 2-hour run, I think, on Sunday. So it's been a little lighter this week. But I'm also prone to injury a lot, and so I don't run probably as much as I should leading up to a race. But I learned, and coaches learned, that the more I run and the more junk miles he puts in there just for the hell of it, the more I get injured. So we try to make it very structured, very worthwhile, no just out jogging easy and doing that, because that's when I would get hurt. And unfortunately for me, that's just my thing, and I know that now. So my running is very, very particular. Like, you're going out, you're doing this, 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 and this for this reason, not just jogging, you know, easy for 20 minutes, because that's when things break for me.
So what does it look like for you recovery-wise? Are you someone that needs or stretches or rolls out often? You sit in an ice bath, or you're not really a recovery type of person?
I'm more so now when, like anyone else, when things start to hurt, you start to do the recovery. And when things don't hurt, you don't. You know, you're staring at the foam roller going, oh, that's kind of cool, and then you never use it. I roll a little bit before I run, my glutes and my ITs, because for some reason my ankles always are really sore, and I think it might be just all the biking that I do. Maybe it's just a weird position. I had a new bike fit recently, so my ankles tend to get sore a lot. So for some reason, if I roll out my glutes and my IT bands, my ankles feel better. Makes no sense to me, but it seems to work. I have the Normatec boots. And so if I have a really long, hard run or really hard bike, I'll sit in those for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour.
What's the Normatec boots?
Those are the ones, the big puffy things that you see after races and like the expos. People are sitting in chairs with massive, like, they're compression boots. They make you look like the Michelin Man or the Stay Puft Marshmallow guy from Ghostbusters.
So it's like a whole leg thing, not just
Yeah, it's a whole leg. Yeah, it's a whole leg thing.
So you have some of those yourself, like at your house?
Yeah, I actually was. Santa brought them to me last year.
Wow, awesome! Do you have an idea of how much they are? Just curious. They look like they're expensive.
They are. Yeah, they're not cheap. I think they were on sale at the time because I think they had a newer version coming out. So I want to say it was, and this is on sale, which is ridiculous. $1,100 maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So just curious.
Yeah, they're not cheap, but I think they were like 11.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like a good investment. I'm not in a position to be like everyone should have them, but I think it'd be a good investment if they help and if someone like yourself is running that often.
Yeah, they definitely do help, and they have to help because so many people use them, so many pros use them, and you see them at every race, and the tents are always filled with people using them, and there's a line for people to use them. At some point, I'm like, well, there's got to be something to them because everyone seems to be using them.
Yeah, I just tried them on for the first time at like a mini trade show, like a opening place right here in Redondo. I'll post a picture on one of the groups we're in, on the South Bay running group. But it was pretty cool. Like, kind of felt a little funny, but I feel like all that added circulation going to your lower extremities has got to do something.
It really feels good. I mean, the night I got back from the Surf City thing on Sunday, whenever it was, Saturday, put them on. I hadn't had them on in a while, and I was like, oh my God, this feels amazing. It's like, I got to put these on more often. So they really are beneficial. But even just simple rolling, you know, simple tennis ball, I mean, you can get a lot out of just rolling on things you have around the house.
You mentioned that you didn't eat very well while you're traveling around. Is nutrition something important for you? Is that something that you focus on for recovery or during your runs or races?
I try to eat pretty well. I try not ever since I got a heart rate monitor, which I've had for years now, but you really get a true idea of how hard you're working and calories, how many calories you burn, you know, calories in, calories out, they always say. And, you know, I would, and like most people, I'll see, myself included, I used to do this, you know, you go out and you run 3 miles. You know, so you're out there for, you know, let's just say a half hour, you know, and then I'll meet, again, myself included or whoever I'm with, you know, we'll go out and we'll have pancakes and you know, with whipped cream and all the stuff. And you're like, well, I only burned 200 calories. So the three bites of pancakes I just ate, that's just there. I just really started being more cautious about calories in, calories out, and not just shoving food in my face because I went out and, you know, ran for an hour. Really taking caution of, and if I am going to eat a lot of food, I'm going to eat the right foods. I'm not going to come home and, which I've been known to do, just stand in my kitchen with an open jar of peanut butter and a spoon.
We've all been there.
and then like 4 days in go, how is this finished? And it says there's 30 servings in a container.
Right.
That's,
and you're like, I eat way too much peanut butter.
That person to me goes, well, that's not good. So it's so easy to get, you know, your metabolism just gets so out of whack and you just want to eat everything sight. You have to force yourself. Like this morning, I was like, okay, I didn't do that much on the trainer, so I'm not going to have this big thing of oatmeal and bananas and peanut butter that I was going to eat. I'm going to make eggs with some leftover chicken and replenish it that way and eat something more substantive. Now, if I'm not going to do anything really really hard, like if I'm doing just an easy run or an easy bike, I'll try not to eat in the morning beforehand and do it fasted. And then eat afterwards. If I'm going to do something hard, that's when I'll treat myself to, you know, the oats and the banana and the peanut butter and all the yummy stuff. But and at night, I try not to eat too much crazy stuff. I try to let lunch be the biggest meal of the day because usually by lunch, I'm ravenous. And then kind of taper it off with dinner without eating too many carbs for dinner because it feels like I kind of had all the carbs in the morning when I needed them. I don't need them now. I don't need them to sleep. So,
you mentioned you had a coach, like a running coach. Does that coach help with nutrition as well, or you kind of do that on your own?
Yeah, he's an all-around triathlon coach. He's part of Tower 26 and a swim group that I'm a part of, and they've now kind of transitioned into triathlon training. He's not a nutritionist per se. I mean, when I do have questions, I ask him. But he's mainly just the running and the biking and then, on deck for swimming.
So the mental aspect of all this training and all this running is something I'm super interested in. What's going through your mind when there's a challenge or when you're in the middle of a run or a race and you're like, oh my gosh, what have I done to myself? What am I doing here? What does that look like in your mind?
I don't know. It's just something in me clicks to where I know this is hard. I know this is ridiculous. Ironman Ireland in June of this year, there was like a 35% DNF non-finishing rate because it rained, and no joke, someone actually looked it up. It rained an entire month's worth of rain in that one day. And I was on the bike, you know, supposed to be on the bike for, you know, 6 hours. I was on the bike for 7.5 and I had hypothermia and it was windy, raining. There was hail at one point. It was the most miserable thing. I remember some of it. I don't remember some of it. If it wasn't for videos and pictures that my family took, I don't think I'd remember any of it. Some of it's hard to watch, like videos of me just not being able to talk because everything is frozen. And I remember being on the bike thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to finish this? Not only that, but I don't want to die at the same time. But I've come so far. To me, it's like I've come so far and I try to think about all the hard things I've done leading up to this. You know, think about this next 20 minutes is that really hard run interval Jim made you do a couple weeks ago. Okay, now that's over. Okay, so now on the run, you've got 2 miles left on the run. Okay, well, just think about that. That's when you're running here in Hermosa Beach. You know, you're at the end of the strand in El Porto, and you've got 2 miles back home. Okay, there you're at. So I try to think about things that I'm used to, things that I've done before, things that are harder that I've done before, and be like, okay, well, this is easier at this moment than that one interval on the bike 3 weeks ago. Okay, I can do this. And just little things just to get you to the next step, the next step, the next step. And then also thinking about, well, you know, heck, you know, I don't want to let people down. You know, I don't want to let the coach down. I don't want to let the people that came out to watch and, you know, support you and your family and everyone who lived through, you know, your training and your complaining and bitching and moaning about it. I just try to keep my mind on other things because it's very easy to lose your mind.
Do you do any mental training or visualization stuff, or is it just what you're like? It's just the experiences through training that take you through the actual race.
No, it's just my experiences in training. I think about all the videos, like, you know, leading up to Ireland, I watched video after video of, you know, people's inspirational Ironman stories and thinking about, you know, what they've gone through and thinking of all the finish lines of Kona that I've watched, you know, the ones that, you know, that come in at the very last minute at hour 17 or 18, whatever it is, you know, and they're crawling to the finish line and just thinking about, well, if they can do it, you know, I can do it. And just one foot in front of the other.
What did it feel like when you were, take us through, if you could remember, like what you remember when you're in your hypothermic state. Take us through the last couple miles when you can see the finish line and you know you're going to finish, and then what happens when you finish?
Yeah, once I got off the bike and I got on the run, and the run is, of the three disciplines, the run is, A, it's my favorite, and it's the best of the three. So I was so excited. I'm like, okay, good. I'll get off the bike and there won't be all that wind anymore and I'll warm up and we'll just bypass the fact that I was in transition for 40 minutes. No one needs to know that part of it. Anyway, so I got on the run and I started running literally in my street clothes because I was still so freezing that I went out in my street clothes. So I went out in my street clothes, started feeling warmer, and I was like, this is great. I've got this. Like 2 miles in, hypothermia kicked in again, or border, whatever it was, borderline minor hypothermia. I don't know what it was. So I literally ran the entire race with those space blankets on. And every time I went around a loop, I grabbed another one. And so right before the finish line, and it was I don't even remember, was it four loops or five? So that's how bad it was. You think I'd remember something like that. The last loop, and I knew that the finish line was coming up. I almost started to cry. And having seen the finish line every time around the loops, thinking, God, I'm not there yet. God, I'm not there yet. And then realizing, I can't believe I'm going to finish. But then not only that, okay, I can't finish on the Ironman finish line with Mike Riley calling me an Ironman while I am dressed in a beanie and space blankets.
So you're tearing these off while you're running?
There's some pictures. I'm like, I cannot believe I ran like that, but it kept me sane. And so I stopped at the top of the hill because the red carpet started, it was like a downhill. So I stopped at the top of the hill and I took off the beanie and I like shoved it in my race belt. I took off the space blankets and I put them in a trash can. I was still so cold. I couldn't even shove them in a trash can. Some awesome Irish guy, which is kind of, because they're all awesome. It's the Irish. Help me put the space blankets in the trash can. Now I'm freezing, but I'm like, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. it's definitely, I couldn't, it's hard to put into words. It's all the stuff that leads up to it emotionally, physically, all the stuff you put your friends and family through. It's just, it's a pretty awesome feeling. Even if you're running around the streets of Cork, Ireland, dressed almost like a, I don't know, homeless person with,
so, okay, so you cross the finish line, and then do you collapse, or you get another blanket? Is there friends or family waiting for you? What does that look like?
I didn't collapse because at that point I had been walking and shuffling along for so long that physically I was fine, like from a not tired. I was tired from just because it was out there for so long. Didn't collapse, but I ran right to the bathroom, went to the bathroom, got the medal, grabbed another space blanket, and then found my parents and my girlfriend and got, you know, warmer clothes and went and got pizza.
Were you thinking about the pizza when you're coming across the finish line? Like, oh, can't wait to have pizza?
No, not yet. I was thinking more of the beer that went with the pizza.
Oh, my gosh. I always wonder how runners or athletes put themselves through, like, this crazy intense, and their bodies are like torn apart in so many different ways. Then they have like a beer and pizza. I'm like,
yeah, it wasn't right away. Usually right after you stop running. I don't know if you're like this, but a lot of people, when they stop running, myself included, you're like, oh, I'm not hungry at all. And then like 10 minutes later, all of a sudden you're like, I could eat a cow right now. When did this hunger kick in? So I was fine. We're waiting to get the bike to go back to the hotel. And all of a sudden I'm like, I need to eat everything in this country.
Yeah.
So that's when we went and found pizza and beer.
so many calories going through. But yeah, that was awesome though. Thank you so much, Megan. I really appreciate you taking the time to all the details is so descriptive, and I feel like I was partly there in some cases. So I appreciate your time coming in and sharing some of your stories with us.
Thanks for letting me rabbit on. It's definitely such a big part of my life. I could, as you can guess, go on forever and ever. So hopefully I didn't talk over you too much.
No, it was great. Is there anything that we missed or any sometimes guests have a message to share. If there's anything we missed, feel free to share that now. Otherwise, we can wrap it up.
Just a couple things. If I mentioned the New York Marathon, I'm actually running for charity. I'm running for Team Autism Speaks. As a teacher, for, like I said, 20 years, I've dealt with a lot of students on the spectrum. And so it was definitely the perfect charity for me to run for. So if anyone's interested in, I still have, I think, 2 or 3 more weeks to raise money for that. So if anyone's interested in that, on my Instagram page, there's a link, or you can email me. My Instagram is Megan Granich Try. So MEGANGRANICH Try. And there's a link there, and you can donate. It's a great cause, and hoping to raise as much money as I can before, I think it's October 25th.
Awesome. Okay, we'll definitely send people your way. Hopefully we can get the show out and in front of our listeners in time for some people to help out. But I'm sure you do. People can follow you regardless on Instagram, and then I'm sure you do this more often. I think a lot of runners raise money for different. So maybe in a future run is what I'm getting at. They can help contribute in the future. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, fantastic. All right, Megan, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Drew. Have a good one.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for another edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sticking around till the end. We couldn't be more grateful for your support. If you do get a chance, we would love a review on iTunes. That definitely helps the show out. If you subscribe to the show, that helps out. And simply sharing the show with your friends or talking about it amongst your friends makes a big difference for us. Hopefully these shows and stories make a big enough change in your lives that you're willing to talk about them and share them with your loved ones and friends and family. Hopefully we can offer some inspiration. Hopefully we can make that change and help others learn that everyone can make a difference. Everyone can start and take the first step and maybe find themselves freezing in the rain one day, just like Megan. But seriously, though, I think there are so many benefits to stepping outside your comfort zone, pushing through your limits, and pushing through your comfort zone, which is where those real results come from. One more time, a quick TriMag mention. This is our magnesium supplement. There are tons of health benefits. A natural boost of energy without the crash is one of them. Magnesium is naturally occurring in our body. You can also get magnesium from foods. We'll find a form of magnesium in every single one of our cells. Unfortunately, it's not enough. 80% of us are deficient in magnesium. This prevents us from living our optimal life. It prevents us from having energy, improved digestion, prevents us from feeling fantastic from day in and day out. The magnesium forms that we've put together, magnesium 3-in-8, for example, is great for mental clarity. It's great for brain health. It definitely helps with mood, depression, anxiety, along with exercise and running. So you can use it as a tool in your tool belt to help you live a healthy lifestyle in a number of different ways. More details are at trueformlife.com/TriMag magnesium supplement. Once again, thanks so much for being here. Hope to catch you on the next show.